Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to the Same Show with PLR. This is LR. A lot of folks really get into the Super Bowl. They call it Super Sunday. I think it's Super Monday. This should be a national holiday. No one should have to be forced to work the day after the Super Bowl because nobody wants to work. The only thing you do at work is talk about what you saw yesterday. And what we saw yesterday may have been the best Super Bowl from beginning to end that I have ever witnessed. It wasn't a great beginning, and then it fizzled. It wasn't a slow start, and then it ended. It was tense from the beginning to the end. And I don't mean a defensive battle where people are throwing haymakers left and right, you know, like the 85 Bears, where it was just one sack after one sack, or one thing after one thing. It was a straight-up offensive explosion from the very beginning, from the get-go, and it was an absolute blast to watch that game last night. I said it on Friday. I would not bet against Patrick Mahomes, but I don't care what anyone else says. There's no way that I'm betting against him. And once again, he proved to be the best of the best. I put up a picture on Instagram for the sports game, and it said the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, and I honestly, truly believe that. I know what Tom Brady is. I know what Tom Brady has done. I know what Tom Brady did for a long, long time. But I truly believe when all is said and done, we watch the greatest quarterback, or will be for the next 2 years, watching the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. But like I said, and I got right into it, so that tells you how excited I am. Again, this is the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. We are stacked and loaded for you today. Coming on in a few minutes, the one, the only, Mike Caracanudo. That's my guy. You know him as my best friend, my BFF. He's going to be hanging with us today, hosting Pac-12 Preview and also the Sports Arena. He's going to get in here and hang in with us. He had a lot of great Super Bowl coverage, so you know we're going to pick his brain and find out what's going on. And you also know he's the biggest ASU homer there is. And I've got to ask him if he really thinks ASU is going to get in close tournament. As a side note to everything else we're going to talk about today. Also, former NBA player Stephen Hunter, longtime vet of the game. He's going to hop on. He always has great sports talk. And you know we got to ask him about the Kevin Durant trade that the Suns made. So I'm really, really anxious to get into today's show. Really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of good information to pass on with you guys today. But getting back to the show, honestly, yesterday was just great. It's amazing sometimes when you're watching greatness, you don't want to see a loss by either side. And I got to be honest with you. This is the first Super Bowl I've watched in a long time where I really wouldn't have been hurt over who won and who lost. As much as I say don't bet against Patrick Mahomes, it is awfully hard to root against Jalen Hurts and what he has been able to accomplish in his 3 years in the league. Remember, there's a lot of brilliant people out there that said he's not that good. He can't pass. He has no arm strength. He doesn't really need defense. He can run, but he can't throw. He can't run out of pocket. He can only throw short dink and dunk. He doesn't have touch. He doesn't have this. And there was a long list of what he doesn't have. But somehow this young man has made himself into one of the top, easily top five quarterbacks in the league. And he was in there last night, toe-for-toe battling with Patrick Mahomes. Rushing touchdown, one passing touchdown, one two-point conversion run. There's nothing he did not do for the Eagles. They ball controlled because of him. They moved the ball because of him. And it really just came down to a couple of little things. A couple of little things that stopped him from winning the game and him being probably the easiest voted MVP of all time. He was absolutely insane. Not even 10 months ago, there was worry if he was even good enough to be the starting quarterback, not just of Philadelphia, but in the NFL. And all he did was come back and prove who he is and what he does. And it's nice to see someone who had to fight for his number one position. Nothing was handed to him. Remember, this kid was benched at Alabama. Tua. He had won a national championship at Alabama and got benched for Tua. You never once heard him complain. You never once heard him write. All he did was work hard. Transferred to Oklahoma for his last year. Showed out there as well. And guess what? He ended up being drafted. And what did they say? Can he play quarterback in the NFL? Is he too much of a lock? Does he have the arm strength? Let me tell you what, there's a couple passes that I know. The pass to A.J. Brown, the cornerback, didn't play that well. That pass was still right on the money. The pass to Goddard on third down, right on the money, 2 inches left. And it's knocked down 2 inches right, and it's intercepted. Another pass to Goddard that he had to threat the new on. This kid is reading everything, reading defense, making great plays, doing everything. Yeah, and I know he had a fumble that led to a touchdown. Everything else he did was just outstanding. And we keep talking about the top quarterbacks. I actually heard one know it all that said, he might be the top quarterback in the NFC. Well, who is? Who is if he is? If he's not the top quarterback in the NFC, I'm hard pressed to find out who it is. It's not Aaron anymore. Tom is gone. Dak is Dak. So if it isn't him, I'm hard-pressed to know exactly who it is because he absolutely showed you. He belongs. Absolutely showed you that he belongs. It wasn't a coordination at all for Patrick Mahomes. He had to work, and he had to work a lot because of what this young man on the other side of the ball did. And it was such to watch. I know the other big talk of the night as well was pass interference. Was it pass interference? Was it not pass interference? Let me go ahead and tell you something real quick. James Bradbury, Philadelphia Eagles cornerback, was called for a questionable holding late in the game. Gave the Chiefs first down, allowed them in essence to sit on the ball, run out the clock, and kick a field goal with about 11 seconds left. Okay, let me go ahead and tell you this right away. If he comes out and says it was holding, if he comes out and says it was a hold and they called, let me give you his exact quote. I was hoping he wouldn't let it go, but of course he's a ref. In other words, the flag. It was a big game. It was a hold, so they called it. So all these people out here yelling, it wasn't a hold, it was a hold, it wasn't a hold. You can't call that at this point of the game. You can't call this down. I hate when refs do that. I really do. If it's a foul in the first quarter, it's a foul in the second quarter, it's a foul in the third quarter, it's a foul in the fourth quarter. A penalty is a penalty. And I love some of the truth we've seen from people. You can't call that, can't call that, can't call that. I even saw the great LeBron James send out a tweet basically saying, you can't ruin a game like that at the very end by blowing a whistle, da 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 da. LBJ. About a week and a half ago, they let you play in Boston. They call a foul. And you threw a pick. So I guess it's only a foul when they foul you. I guess we'll let it go when it helps your team. And I just think it's funny. It was a hold. He grabbed it twice. Once on the initial move, once on a break. You've got to call that. You have no choice. You have absolutely no choice. So then we could say, oh, well, if they don't call that, then they kick the field goal, then they get hurt by the minute 30, come down and give them the position. Which is true. Which is true. He proved the big stage wasn't big enough, wasn't too big for him. But let me tell you something. There's no guarantee. There are no guarantees whatsoever. So it's kind of irritating when I hear that, oh, if this person did that, for sure he would have done this. Honestly, we don't know. We honestly don't know. But the call was made. It was the right call. It was a hold. I understand that you want the players to decide the game. Well, the players did decide the game because the player was holding. I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes. Listen, we're going to take a short break, come back. We should have Mike Caratino ready to go when we do this. Oh, my goodness. The day after Super Bowl, it should be a national occasion.
Don't just smoke your cigar and... Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and...
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the King Show with PLR. This is PLR coming to you on Super Monday, the Monday after the Super Bowl. Wrapping it up, having a lot of fun. Talking about what's going on with the Super Bowl. We don't forget, we are going to still talk about the trade of the Phoenix Suns for Kevin Durant. We're going to do that for sure when we find that it's going to come up a little bit later. Make sure you follow us here on the Cave Show, on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram, at the Sports Cave, KVK. You can get me directly on Twitter, at PLR on Sports. So make sure you follow us to get the best of what's going on the world sports. What we've been before, Mike's character will come on. I got into a discussion with someone a little bit earlier about the Rihanna performance during the Super Bowl last night. Okay, I just got one phrase to say to everyone with a mic. Actually, two things. Shut the hell up or turn the chat. I don't want to hear what's appropriate, what's inappropriate for someone to do at halftime of the show. I have kids. If it's something I don't want them to watch when they walk in, I turn the TV. When it's over, I turn it back. I don't want to hear that. I'm so tired of it. Because the same people who are always griping about what's appropriate and what's inappropriate usually do or say the most inappropriate crap. So it's getting kind of old. It's getting kind of old. It was a Super Bowl halftime performance. Period. If you liked it, great. If you hated it, great. If you did not like it, you have every right to say that you didn't like it. You didn't like music, you have every right to say you didn't like it. What gets me is everyone who's older than thou complaining and complaining and complaining. That's the part that eats me alive. Because some of the people I saw on Twitter last night griping, have you ever seen what they said in quote-unquote prime time? Have you ever seen their actions in quote-unquote prime time? So until you live that perfect life, until you are the person living exactly the way you taught everyone else to live, give me one thing. Shut the hell up. Turn the chat. Click, move on. It's that easy. It's truly that easy. Don't be one of them thumpers that preach, but every Saturday night, you're a stripper. And you know who you are. Everything is equal. Everything has a time. How many times have you been sitting at home watching something on TV, the kids walk in, change channel, hit down, hit mute, hit whatever. And then when they walk out, you go back to doing it. Come on. Stop making a big deal out of it. And I love people that say, you know, watch the NFL, but at the same time, they watch the halftime event. Know what was happening in the NFL. So how can you do both? How can you know what was being shown if you weren't watching? Which means you do watch. Hypocrite, man. Hypocrite. If you don't like the halftime show, sir. There was a time I was at an NBA All-Star game, and it was up in Denver. And it was, at that time they said, and Denver goes country. I have nothing against country music, but I want to hear it. So I walked out, I got something. That was over, I came back here. You do the same thing sitting here with me. Same exact thing. So miss me with the nonsense. If you like it, great. If you don't, great. But don't be one of the people complaining about it. But you watched it when you don't watch the NFL. It's that time. It is that time. So it's funny how you know people and you know them, and then all of a sudden they become big timers. And you gotta call people to get your number again. You gotta email, text, send a carrier pigeon, do all that stuff. You start wearing suits all of a sudden, and they forget all about you. I tracked this guy out. It was Mission Impossible. But he's my guy, no matter what, no matter how much he disappears on me. Pac-12 preview and sports reader, the one and only, Michael Carrizanudo. What's up, big timer? Talk to me.
Man, you're outside your mind. You're coaching your boys. They're winning championships. They're learning how to play hoops the right way. You're a man of the people. I don't big time anybody. You know that.
Ever since when I saw you with Kyle, I said, no wonder. He's wearing ties now. Us, you know, us minimum wage cats can't keep up with the now.
Yeah. Yeah, you got jokes, yeah. You talk about carrier pigeons. That's how I have to send stuff. I can't even afford overnight shipping, man. I'm going to get carrier pigeons.
What's going on, man? Great work at the Super Bowl.
Oh, man, thank you. Yeah, I re-aired for my Pac-12 preview, I re-aired Friday's show again today because I do it Mondays and Fridays. But, yeah, there was I told you about the internet stuff. And, again, I'm not – again, everything at the convention center was great. Just some technical issues downstairs. And so the show started to go live on Friday, but that's why we back everything up in this industry, my friend, as you know. But, yeah, man, got to catch up a lot of great people, a lot of great interviews. I actually got to interview one of the pilots and one of the preparers of the all-women flight crew that did the flyover yesterday because this year's the 50th anniversary of women being allowed to fly. And, yeah, it was an all-women flight crew. I got to interview one of the pilots and, like I said, one of the preparers and the caretakers of the jets. And both women, it was just absolutely awesome. So, it was a great week. I got to hang out with our, you know, Mr. Cool, Mr. Easy shows up, just kind of, you know, strolls in, gets his stuff done. But, yeah, it was awesome, man. It was, again, an insane week capped off by a very good game, as you saw last night, my friend.
So let me ask you this to start everything. I want to start with the team that lost first. What impressed you most about Jalen Hurts and the way he performed yesterday?
Obviously,
Mike, are you with me?
You got me?
I got you now.
Okay. Yeah, no, like we were talking about in the beginning of football season, you know, I said, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm no Eagles fan, but being a fan of one of their major rivals in the Cowboys. But, you know, I said to you, if Jalen Hurts proves it from everything they put around him, you know, we saw what he could be last year in spots. Yeah, I mean, coming in, I said the Eagles would be a 9-8, 10-7 team. But I said if he proves it, if he takes that step, not even proves it, but just improves and takes that step. But, yeah, to your question, last night's game, Paul, I mean, it was he looked good. I mean, the three rushing touchdowns, he's made throws all year when he's had to. We know the quality and caliber of the offensive line when healthy that Philadelphia had. But, I mean, he was in control of that offense all year long, and it grew and grew and grew. And, I mean, it proved the point when, you know, he got injured. Not that, you know, Gardner Minshew played bad, but when he was out, what he meant to that team. And, yeah, I mean, you and I both know, and you know me, I love being up front, probably because I was never big enough to play line, but everything starts in the trenches and what that offensive line did all year. And, I mean, they, you know, he made their job easier, too, because of how he grew, you know, progressions, everything. So, yeah, last night just capped it off. And, I'm happy it didn't end up being a blowout, and I'm happy it was obviously a good game. But, yeah, Jalen Hurts, I mean, you know, we say Patrick Mahomes isn't going anywhere. Well, now the rest of the NFL must be on notice because Jalen Hurts not going anywhere either.
In the AFC, obviously, you have Patrick Mahomes, you have Burrow, you have Allen, you have the kid out with the Chargers, you have all these quarterbacks. The NFC doesn't have that list, that super list. You know, Brady's gone, Aaron Rodgers is older. Is it conceivable to say now that Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in the NFC, especially the way he proved it on the biggest stage?
You know, I mean, I don't think that would be an overreaction. My only caution to that is if caution to the statement is a healthy Matthew Stafford. We saw what obviously they did last year, but you're still going to put, to your point though, Paul, you're still going to put Jalen Hurts in that conversation. And yeah, we'll have to see what these, you know, younger quarterbacks in the NFC can do, you know, but yeah, he, and it's not just because of last night, but the whole season. And even, you know, you could say his short career. I mean, this, you know, getting drafted in the second round, as we know, and then last, you know, going to the playoffs last year and losing to Tampa, and not, you know, and granted Tampa's defense, of course, you know me, I love defense, had a lot to do with that, but not playing, you know, insanely great, Tampa's defense played insanely great, but yeah, he grew, he owned the offense all year, and you know, as a Cowboys fan, it pains me to see it because I do think that, you know, I think it'll be really good battles, you know, between him and Dak Prescott, but yeah, I mean, he definitely catapulted himself right there with the work he put in, how he played, how, you know, again, the offense all fit around him. Because Paul, you and I know this too. Everybody talks about weapons, and I know we'll get to the Chiefs in a second, but losing, you know, Tyreek Hill, and the Eagles sat there and put weapons around Jalen Hurts. I mean, you get an insane stud in A.J. Brown. You had drafted Devontae Smith. They have that running game. But you have to have the trigger man, as everybody says, that can do it all. And we saw the control he had of the offense. So they got the weapons, they got the quarterback, and it just made me happy to see that, you know, the NFC East, everybody talking before the season, oh, the worst division, this and that, and record-wise, it was the best division in football this year, and, you know, they had the Super Bowl runners-up. So, yeah, Jalen Hurts, man, it's going to be interesting to see how they can build from this, because they're kind of, I mean, I know they made the trade, but, I mean, They're pseudo set up like Kansas City with what they can do draft wise and the guys they have there.
Yeah, you know what? That kid never looked frazzled, upset, rushed,
right,
hurried at all, no matter what happened. Even after he fumbled the ball for a touchdown, came right back out. Next play, he's running the ball for what, another 20 yards. I mean, it seems like, and when you look at it, I guess what Ken says is, he was the number one quarterback in the country for the number one team, won a national title, and got benched, and then had to transfer. And then watch the guy that he got benched for, you know, end up going on and being, you know, a top pick, even second round pick. Then he has to hear about how he can't pass, he has no accuracy, he has no arm strength. Carson Wentz was better. Carson Wentz should have never been gone. He should have played in, you know, he would have been a great backup behind it. And all of a sudden, nobody wants Carson Wentz. this kid's in the Super Bowl. Tua still is concussed. It's amazing what we keep thinking about all these people that are drafted high or, you know, tank for Tua or got to get the number one pick to get this guy, this guy, this guy. Mike, sometimes you forget failure and having to work hard and adversity can actually make you stronger than everything else.
100%. Yeah, no. And, you know, and with college football, and I'm with you on everything you said, and the only thing I'll say, you know, because we've talked about the transfer portal enough, you and I, but, I mean, with the transfer portal, and you knew he had something there when leaving Alabama, but picking Oklahoma and going to work with, again, a top program, but Lincoln Riley, and on kickoff night when he was on the podium, I heard an answer. I tried to get up, you know, close enough, but of course, as you know, the quarterback podiums are very crowded, to say the least. But no, I just wanted to ask him, even in working with Lincoln Riley, and you could tell because I mean Lincoln Riley is a play quarter, but as a quarterback coach, getting more out of him. And that last year at Oklahoma, like you said, at Oklahoma, we saw the growth. You saw, like, okay, we knew he had it at Alabama. Yes, he started as a freshman. Yes, okay, he got benched in the national title game, but he did what's best for him. But he proved he could put the work in. He put the work in with Lincoln Riley, and it grew his college game. After last year, he put it in with quarterback coaches, and the quarterback coach he talked about that he worked with, and you saw it because we all, I mean, Paul, it doesn't take much to see. I always say to you, the eye test, that we all talk numbers and this and that, but we all saw Jalen Hurts' eye test definitely passed and we knew get there. But like you said, to your point, do you have the intangibles to work hard? Trust in your faith, trust in any, you know, trust in the process it's going to take to get you there. And like I said, it goes from going, you know, being coached by Nick Saban and learning, you know, under there, but then going to a guy like Ken Ryan, just as you and I know, just seems to have the he seemed to have the Heisman printing press in the back of his house, Paul.
I think he does. And okay, so
I mean,
I was gonna say we got to stop. Time's coming up. We're headed to the top of the hour, but I'm not really letting you go until we talk about this. The one and only Mike Caratanudo, you know, my BFF, ASU's biggest homer. I don't even have to say this to us. Patrick Mahomes is just built different. 5 years, three Super Bowls, two Super Bowl victories, two Super Bowl MVPs, two regular season MVPs, high ankle sprain, comes back from that, takes off for a 26-yard run right up the deck when you need him the most. Every time you need something, he seems to pull it out. He was supposed to fall off a cliff without his number one receiver. And now he has guys like Kadarius Tony. We have the young kid out of the backfield catching touchdown pass. We have all these people that the Giants even gave up on Kadarius Tony. And all of a sudden, they get to Kansas City with Andy Reid, obviously, and Patrick, and all of a sudden he just reinvents what he does. He throws one incompletion in the second half, and that was a throwaway. What can we say about this guy?
Yeah, I mean, look, when you're and a lot of people have said it, as we said on our show on the Sports Arena, like when your basement for your starting career is the AFC Championship, and like you just mentioned right there, yes, getting pieces around you. Yes, having a Hall of Fame coach and a creative coach like Andy Reid is huge. But your basement as a starter has been the AFC Championship game. You know, and Andy Reid said a great thing last night in his presser after the game, Paul, about how he grew up in, you know, locker rooms. Obviously, his dad being a Major League Baseball player, as everybody knows. But to see how somebody worked to get there, but to have the overall work ethic and not the entitlement. I'm not saying everybody does, but you know as well as I do, a lot of people that grow up around it, yeah, they might get into the sport and play the sport that their mom or dad did, but to have the work ethic and be, you know me, I'm a big fan of this next phrase, be coachable, knowing that you have all the talent in the world, but you're still coachable. I mean, it's the most ridiculous start to a career, you know, at any level. And he just, again, is humble about it and has a desire. I mean, a high ankle sprain, and I know you know how bad those are. And yes, granted, they get the best treatment in the world, have a lot of the best trainers and doctors, as we know, working on them. But you can work on it all you want, Paul, as you know, but to come back and, you know, obviously play in the AFC title game, you could see he was really hobbling. The 2 weeks in the beginning of the game, he looked pretty good. Then it gets re-aggravated. And to have that kind of run and that grit, I mean, it's almost unfair, you know. And, of course, you know me, there's going to be those haters out there. I won't be one of them, I'll tell you that. But it's, I mean, just appreciate the greatness because, again, you never know in a lifetime when you'll see it again. And Patrick Mahomes, like I said, is just a good dude. You can see it. But he's going to put in the work. He's not just going to rest on, you know, you could tell that even though the offensive line, lastly, was, completely depleted against the Bucs 2 seasons ago, you could see the look in his eyes towards the end of the game that he knows he still should have been able to win that game. And, man, that kind of work ethic and, again, around the right people and what Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy and that staff can do, Paul, like, I just sit back and enjoy it, man.
Okay, so you know I have to ask you. James Bradberry, he admitted, he said it was a hold. I've heard a lot of people I admire that do sports say, you don't call that. My take is this. If it's a hold in the first quarter, and it's obvious, it's a hold in the fourth quarter. Now, I know people can say, well, you know, they throw Hail Marys and there's pulling and grabbing and whatever, but that's not a Hail Mary. If you grab him on the initial and then you grab him again on a break, my opinion is you got to throw that flag. Because what if they don't throw that flag and the Eagles come back and win? Now we're saying they should have threw the flag. I know it's a damned if you do. I know it's a damned if you don't. I just believe when it's a penalty, it's a penalty. What are your thoughts?
Oh, well, I'm literally golf clapping for you the whole time you're saying that, because I've said this to you before, more so when we talk basketball, but it's in every sport. They always say they don't want the officials to become part of the game. And to your point, I will re-quote it right now because I say it all the time. So in this instance in football, if it's a penalty in the first game of the year and it's a penalty in the 8th game of the year and it's a penalty in the 17th game of the year, guess what? It's a penalty in the Super Bowl. And I know you and I will get to NBA discussions later, but in the NBA, if you're not making the same call, subjective or not, then it's terrible. And, you know, for all those people say, oh, you can't call that. Like, he pulled on his jersey. And you and I both know those guys that have that kind of speed, like that little half a second to a second of holdup, people say he wouldn't have caught the ball. I'm like, no, me myself, I know I wouldn't have caught the ball because I don't have that kind of speed. And I don't have Patrick Mahomes. Right. I don't have it anymore. I may have once had it, my friend. I may have once had it. But Patrick Mahomes could have put touch on the ball, and he could have caught that. So, you know, for all the fans of teams, and again, it's not even just to pick on Eagles fans, but me being a Cowboys fan, when I've seen games and they call it, I'm like, oh, come on. But then if these fans or teams want to talk out of both sides of their mouths, change the rules, go back to the old days where the defense could just maul them and the offense could maul back and then see how ugly the game gets. But, no, I'm with you. And I do feel bad for Bradberry because he didn't have to jump inside like that. On the initial hold, he had the linebacker to the inside that was dropped. So, I mean – again, you're making a play, and I'm not second-guessing Bradberry because, Paul, we saw the phenomenal year he had, what he meant to that defense, what they did. I mean, Gardner, John, Darius Slay, Bradberry, like, everybody saw how good they were and what a season he has. And from the defensive side of the like standpoint, do I feel kind of sick for him? Yeah, but I'm with you. It's a hole, and the refs aren't going to call it. I mean, coaches have said from the eons that I've heard growing up, like offensive line, yeah, hold until they make the call in the Super Bowl. But if you're not being consistent, you just became part of the game like they don't want you to. So yeah, I mean, feel for them, but you're 200,000,000% right. Even if the Eagles have to kick the Chiefs have to kick the field goal there, and there's that much time up on the clock, we saw Eagles talked about Jalen Hurts. If they go down and win it, then every person for Kansas City has it. But then people say, oh well, yeah, I mean the rest of you, they don't need to make a call. No, make a damn call and go from there, and that's it. Because it frustrates me to no end, like you said, when you're watching it in the postseason and you're like, and people say, well, I don't want to blame it on officiating, but you and I both know, I mean, literally a Super Bowl, as great as that game was, can come down to one play like it did, and if you don't make that call, which is the right call, then you're just doing everybody a disservice.
Agreed, 100%. The one only Michael Carafinuto with me, Mike. We're coming up against the clock, so I've got two more questions before I let you go. Next question, is there any way next year that Kansas City is not the favorite to win the Super Bowl again? And who do they play? Does Philadelphia have that fall off that usually Super Bowl losers do? Or are they right back, running it right back?
Yeah, Kansas City definitely the favorite, but to your obviously well-articulated point earlier, Burrow, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson's not going anywhere. So for fans that think somehow Lamar Jackson's going to end up on your team, I'm saying it right now on your show. You can bookmark it. You can give me crap if he does go somewhere else, Paul. Lamar Jackson's not going anywhere, and if he does, the Baltimore Ravens as an organization would have just fallen off the face of the earth. But you talk about those quarterbacks, and like I said, Tua, the way he played with those weapons too before everything happened, I want him to be healthy. He's okay. The gauntlet of teams and the quarterbacks and the teams – it's tough, but yes, Kansas City is the favorite. I don't think the Eagles fall off, but look, even as the Chiefs showed, I mean, we talk about Patrick Mahomes and the five straight AFC championships. Well, who did they play in the last two? The Cincinnati Bengals and Joe Burrow, and I don't think it was cocky. I mean, the reporter asked a question, how do you expect the guy to answer when they said, what's your window? And I know you heard that statement too. Joe Burrow said, the window is his whole career, and for the way he was playing, you and I, it was funny. Because, no, and I laughed at it, not because Joe Burrow answered it, Paul, but like I said to you, if I as a reporter asked that kind of question, what the hell would I expect you to say? Oh, everybody else, of course you're going to say your window's you, Paul, because you worked, you got there, you know you can do it. So look, the Bengals won the last two. Definitely, considering they also have 11, I think they have 10 or 11 draft picks to the Chiefs. Two rookies from the Pac-12. No, one rookie from the Pac-12. Two Pac-12 players in the secondary playing for them. So, I mean, the Chiefs are definitely going to be favored. Andy Reid, like what he said, is the head. But I wouldn't be surprised Cincinnati, real quick, NFC side. I mean, could I see the Eagles going back painfully? Absolutely. But, again, teams make the adjustments. If the Niners figure out the quarterback thing, it'd be really tough, not to say the Niners are there. And since Kellen Moore's gone from Dallas and they might actually have some creativity on offense, it's right there. But, I mean, even for the Chiefs, it's hard to get back. But, yeah, those two teams, I mean, a rematch wouldn't be too far-fetched.
All right, so last question. We got exactly 3 minutes. Reed, let me know. And, by the way, I got a request for your Dallas Cowboys. How about letting the coach have the weekly meeting and not the owner, putting undue pressure on everybody? Just a thought. Okay, anyway. Anyway, I got to get your thoughts. Like I said, we have exactly 3 minutes left. Suns make the trade. My exact thought, I would trade. It was beautiful. because as soon as Sarver was out, KD came in. Almost the exact same trade that was proposed this summer. And Sarver, I won't even say what I think of him, said absolutely no. But I would make that trade. I would trade Bridges, and I would trade Cam, and I would trade Crowder, who didn't even play. And I would trade 4 first-round picks, who I don't even know who they would be. It would probably be in the low 20s anyway. And tell me the last player in the low 20s that hit real hard and is now an NBA star in the way that the draft is today. I would have made the trade. I love the trade, and I think the Suns are the number one team in the West now, and it is up to them and them only to prove that they can now not be in the Western Conference Finals and in the NBA Finals representing the West. I left you with 3 minutes. Go.
No, yeah, I mean, look, I'm with you. I mean, look, KD is KD, as we all know. I think having somebody like Ayton next to him, not that the Nets didn't have guys next to him, but we saw what the Celtics did to him in the playoffs last year. Yes, I mean, Kyrie not around, or even with Kyrie playing, like, you can bully ball KD, but now you have him with Chris Paul, Devin Booker. I mean, DeAndre Ayton, even down low, it frees him up even more. So, yes, my only point to you, and I understand it because you and I even talked in the preseason, you know, or in the offseason, but close to the season starting, once that started heating up, but when Durant said he wanted to be traded, a lot of people, even before talked to you, I mean, I'm sure you saw before, right, saying, you know, Phoenix definitely could be one of the places. He said he was wanting to come. And I get if you're Brooklyn, if Mikal Bridges isn't put in that trade, there's no way you want to make it. My thing is with Cam Johnson and Crowder and the 4 picks, I'd be aiming hard. And again, you know, I know you were too, a Mikal Bridges man, what he can do. But for KD, I mean, down the years and where he's at, help Denver team to me, Memphis is what they are. I was not scared of taking on anybody. So I think, yeah, between that and I know Golden State, you know, they're sitting at 500. You and I both know not to doubt them, my friend. But, yeah, I mean, you get KD and you get a lot. And like I said, Booker, Paul, Ayton, Durant, and guys like, you know, he come off the bench. And even, you know, Jock Landale in spots proved that for a big man, he can score some points. Paul, would you like to see? He has no problem banging around and playing defense. So, you know, in fact, Diambo, what he's meant too. So, look, the fact that Dennis.
Mike, I'm losing you. Are you still with me? I think I just lost my guy. Yep, I did. I just lost him. How great is it to have the one? Oh, there he is. There he is.
Sure, I got you.
Mike.
I got
you. All right.
I was just going to say lastly that, you know, trade yet, but the fact that all those guys are still here, and yeah, I would have loved to have seen Bridges stay because of what he can do defensively, especially on the wings in the playoffs, which you need. But between Denver, a healthy Denver team, Joker showing with a healthy Jamal Murray that he's ridiculous, and Memphis with, like I was saying.
Mike, you keep fading out, so I'm going to make sure when you come back, tell everyone where they can hear you and check you out, because I don't want to do that before I lose you.
Wednesday night live on the Sports Arena again. You can follow me on Twitter at Diablo00. I'll have the link to the show on there. And then Mondays and Friday mornings, 10 o'clock Arizona time, Pac-12 preview. And, yeah, talking everything, men's and women's hoops, spring sports coming up, football, recruiting, spring ball. I got it all. And hopefully always hanging out with my BFF, Mr. PLR.
My man, we will do this again a lot sooner now that I've had my PI track you down.
You're terrible, man. I love it. I love it. This guy, he's always got it. He's always got it.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Man, thank you, man. I'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
All right. Yes, sir. The one and only Michael Caratino. All right, guys, we're going to keep this train just rolling right along. scheduled to appear really quickly, really shortly. The one and only Stephen Hunter, former NBA player. Guys, listen, everyone keeps talking about guys that play in the league and what they do and what they did, but sometimes we lose track of what they do and when they're not playing, and so or when they retire. And before he gets off the line, definitely going to talk about a lot of the good things that he does with basketball, with youth, with youth sports, with the foundation, and all that stuff. Definitely going to ask him thoughts on the Super Bowl as well when he joins us. But I will tell you this, that trade that the Suns made was a no-brainer. It was absolutely a no-brainer. And when you even stop to think even more about the crazy trade that Minnesota made, this was almost a giveaway to get KD. Almost just a straight giveaway. And anyone would have made that trade, except the former Suns owner, obviously, because we could have had KD. And I want to say I'm a part of the Suns organization. Now, I have covered them for 10 years. But I actually said we as reserve for the Bulls. But I absolutely love the trade. And I absolutely love the move that the Suns made. A lot of people don't think that they're going to be a shoo-in for the Western Conference Finals or for the championship. Honestly, I think only injury could stop them, to be perfectly honest with you. And I mean major injury. I love what they're doing. I wish they could have got a hold of Reggie Jackson as a backup. Looks like he's going to move on to Denver. That was my number one guy. I do love the picking up of Terrence Ross. But we'll get into all that right here on the Cave Show. Got my man, the one, the only, Stephen Hunter, on with us. Steve, what's up, sir? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Thanks for having me. To me, Steve, this is, oh, man, all the time. See, to me, this is a real holiday. This should be a national holiday. The day after the Super Bowl, nobody should have to work because nothing is going to be, you're going to have any production whatsoever. All people want to do is talk about the game. I send people to work. Let them take the day off.
I agree with you, man. I'm not good, very productive myself. I had a long, great night last night, man. It was one of the best Super Bowls I ever seen. So, wow.
I agree with you because it wasn't a game that started slow and ended fast, or started fast and ended slow. You were on the edge of your seat from the first drive until the game ended. And that, to me, that's a great game all the way through.
Yes. Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Jalen Hurts didn't disappoint it.
No. No. And honestly, I was just speaking to my previous guest, and I said, I think he has stapled himself in as the top quarterback in the NFC.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Sure. If anybody had any doubts before, they don't have no doubts now.
No.
That was just amazing, man. Seriously.
And then you play sports at the highest level. Can you tell people how hard it is to play anything with a high ankle sprain?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, it's the worst sprain that you can have. You know, it's hard to walk, let alone run. So, you know, I don't know what they did, put some magic sauce on his ankle or something like that. But, yeah, he came out and toughed it out. And then I heard it during the game. I thought the game was over, like, once he heard it again. But, you know, he came back strong. So that was just amazing.
When you watch football, as you have for as long as you have, and I remember watching games where every quarterback was 6'5", stood in a pocket, and just – you know, everything was pocket, throw this. And now the maturation of the game, you have, you know, the two quarterbacks last night and Evans and Herbert and Lamar Jackson, all these guys that are so athletic and can move and pass. Now the game has changed into you have to move and pass. Isn't it amazing just the maturation of the game and how much more fun it is to watch that?
Yeah, it is, man. And, you know, you definitely got to give credit to, you know, the guys that came before, you know, Randall Cunningham, Warren Moon, Donovan McNabb, you know, Michael Vick, all these guys who were just great athletes and, you know, not only great throwers, but able to run the ball as well. And so now you're right, man, you can't get a job in the NFL as a starting quarterback without being able to run the ball.
100%.
That was really cool to see.
You know, something I said the other night, actually Friday on the show, and the story didn't hit home the way I wanted it to, and I kept waiting for it. One thing that impressed me the most about these two quarterbacks, and every year we hear stories in pro sports about guys raised by their single mom who had to work five jobs or their grandmother because their parents weren't there. I don't think personally there was enough love given to what these quarterbacks, who they are as men and who their parents were as men in their life, teaching them to be men as black men. And I think that story kind of got lost and never really talked about for how the credit that these dads should get for helping their sons, you know, be the men that who they are and who they became. And I think the NFL, along with every other outlet, missed that story. Because to me, that story should have been out in front.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to talk about absentee dads, you definitely got to talk about dads that actually, you know, raise their kids the right way and, you know, involved in their lives from the beginning and teach them different morals and just how to be a man. So I think that definitely should have been a story. You know, it's funny you say that. You know, that's actually a great idea. That should have been a story. You know, maybe they're listening and next year they'll have one, but you know, you make a great point. You know, that's why I try to instill in my son. We instill in our sons, you know, we're in our kids' life because of that reason, you know. So, yeah, man, just really cool to see, you know, Patrick's dad, Jalen's dad, all these guys involved in their lives.
Yep. So I got to ask you, like I said, I have a great one only on with me. The trade. I know it's a big football day, the trade. What ran through your mind when you saw that the Phoenix Suns had acquired Kevin Durant?
It was, oh, my God. It was shock. It was disbelief. You know, probably one of the greatest trades ever made. You know, we just don't see superstars like that get traded during the trade deadline, you know. So immediately I was just excited about, you know, that trade for the Suns, because now we're right back in the mix of, you know, being NBA championship contenders. So I'm definitely going to be at some games, you know, seeing this whole thing transpire, man, because, you know, we have a legitimate shot, man. Chris Paul got exactly what he needs. And two superstars in Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. And the sleeper of the trade was actually T.J. Warren. T.J. Warren, you know, can easily put up 25 games or 25 points a night, you know. So, yeah, we did well. We did really well. And Suns took a big jump, and, you know, now they're right back in it.
Is there a better mid-range shooting team in the NBA now between T.J., Kevin, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker? is there a starting five that can kill you in a minute like they can?
Yeah, well, yeah, I think we definitely have the best starting five in the league. Definitely. When you pair veteran and Chris Paul, you know, he's losing a step, but he's still smart, you know. And then you put, like you said, you put Booker and you got Durant there. I mean, it's, you know, how are you going to stop it? And then we didn't have to give up Aiden either. So,
nope.
Yeah, on paper, nope. You know, we should be there at the end.
So you're a big man. So how much, and everyone keeps talking about what it does for Chris and what it does for Devin, but as a big man, what does this do for Aiden? And how much easier is his job going to be now? And the weight of scoring just seems like it's off his shoulders.
Man, this does everything for Aiden and Chris Paul, but specifically Aiden. You know, he can just be the rebounder and the defender that he is and that we want. You know, he doesn't have to score a bunch of points because, you know, how many balls are out there to shoot. So, You know, Durant's going to score. Booker's going to score. We don't need him to do anything. Just grab offensive rebounds, block shots, and run the floor. We got lucky.
I'll tell you the one move that I do like that they're about to make, and that's signing Terrence Ross. I think he's going to be a great backup and a great asset coming off the bench. And by no means am I knocking any of the bench players that the Suns have. But it's nice to have an athletic guy who can do more than one thing. I really wish deep down that they would have got Reggie Jackson, too. I see he's going to the Nuggets. But I really like the signing of Terrence Ross when that officially happens later this week.
Yes. Yeah, man, like you said, we've got a lot of firepower now. Now I think you slide Terrence in that six-man position, he can come off the bench and fill it up. So, we just – like Monty just got a lot of options, a lot of different options. You know, we went from a team that was kind of just dead in the water there,
Yes.
Barely in the playoffs to a team that, now you're competing for a title again. So, I hope that they take advantage of this opportunity because I can definitely see them winning the West, coming out of the West.
Yeah, me too. Hey, Steve, look, I know time is getting close. I was talking about you before you got on. I don't know if you picked up on it, but I said it's funny how everyone talks about athletes and what they do, on the court and all that. But you do so much for kids off the court with your programs, with your learning and development stuff in your camps. And I know you have a new league starting up as well, a developmental league.
Mm-hmm.
And for coming from someone who does a lot with basketball and kids, it's very rare to find programs that do it the right way. Could you just kind of talk about what you got coming up soon and this development program that you have for kids so they could actually learn how to play basketball without learning it from YouTube?
Yeah, man, that's true. Thanks for that, by the way. But we have high school tryouts coming up February 17th, so that's going to be next Friday. It's at Centennial Elementary School, so make sure we mark that down on your calendars because it's going to be exciting. So typically we carry about four high school teams, so we're going to be looking for a few slots to fill. I invite everybody to come try out, man. No matter the skill level, just come and try out, and we'll see what happens. The development team, the development league, as you mentioned, that's going to be March 17th, I believe. And yeah, we work with kids who just kind of new to the game, and we want to try to prepare them for, being a tournament level player. So, this is that particular league is for kids who are just starting out. We go from third to eighth grade. But if you're just starting out and you want to become a club basketball player, I suggest that league because it'll be equally talented, equally meshed to teams. And so, it should be a good experience for kids who are just starting.
Cool. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming on. Appreciate you for the lead you did. I told your guy you were coming on today. He said, please make sure I tell you hello. So he, every time I mention your name, he gets that still glimmer in his eye.
Yeah, I gotta come check him out, man. Let me know the next time y'all play. I'll come check him out.
I will do.
Tell him I said
I will
what's up.
Do. I will. Would you believe he's 5'10" now?
Wow.
So
he's only what, 12?
Me up. Just turned 13.
Wow. Just turned 13. Yeah. And he's going to be tall, man. What the hell?
Yeah. Look, the gene that skipped dad went to him, thank goodness. So we'll go with that.
Yeah, man.
All right, brother.
Man. Well, tell him what's up. All right, thank you.
I will. And I appreciate you. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, thanks. Bye.
All right, now, the one only Stephen Hunter on with us today. Well, listen, that's going to wrap it up. NBA All-Star Weekend is this weekend, so, we'll have a lot of stuff going on with that. Get some voices on, get some basketball players on, and get a lot of talk about that as well. Super Bowl is over. The new league season starts soon, so we'll be ready to roll. This has been the Cave Show with PLR. Make sure you're following us on social media at The Sports Cave, Caves with the K, on the Instagram, the Twitter, and the Facebook. Thank you, everyone. Hopefully, have a great day. Get me directly at PLR Sports on Twitter. Until the next time, this has been PLR The Cave Show. Everyone, have a great rest of your Monday. Super Monday. Thanks for bringing us home.